Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is the Recruiting Animal, and I'm sick today. I don't know if you can tell from my voice, but I've been sick for a few days already. So I can't shout, and if I can't shout, there's really no point in me having a show. I'm going to hand it over, therefore, to the two girls from Radio Free Sourcing, Maureen Sharif, the queen bee of telephone sourcing, and her pal, Pam Simon. Now, let me see if they're here. Welcome, Pam and Maureen. Are you here?
I'm here.
Great, great. Okay, so I'm going to retreat to the control room. I haven't said that before, so it's hard for me to get out. I'm going to retreat to the control room, but...
Why don't you explain how you're going to handle the controls?
Well...
In your own brutish fashion.
Yes. If somebody is stupid, boom, they get the shepherd's hook, let's call it that.
Okay.
Get a little more violent as we go on. But first, you know, I don't want to leave too fast. I don't want you to think I'm a hog or a ham or anything like that, but I want to talk a tiny bit before my voice goes. I've been thinking about a musical introduction for your show, because you're going to be doing some shows on the back end, so to speak, of the Recruiting Animal show in the future, and I want to bounce a few ideas off you. Is that okay?
That's fine.
Okay. I only selected four for today.
Okay.
And there's nobody on the couch yet anyway, so we'd just be talking to each other. So I'm going to play these for you, and you have to give me some real honest, straightforward feedback. You're going to be honest, right?
Yes.
Maureen?
We'll try. How should we judge them? Like 1 to 5? 5 being
okay,
best?
5 is best. You really love it. Okay, so here's the first one. And they're short. Don't worry.
Okay.
You give your hand to me. And then you say hello. And I can hardly speak. My heart is beating so. And anyone can tell. You think you know me well. Well, you don't know me.
Hey, you get it?
Pam,
yeah.
I like that. Then what do you think?
Well,
it's slow, and
it's very sexy.
Yeah, but the message is there, right?
The message is there, but, you know, I almost feel like, you know, the recruiting animal here wants to, like, marry, you know, us.
Oh, okay. You know what? That always makes me a bit misty, that song. Okay.
Aww.
I got another one for you.
Okay.
A little tougher, okay?
Okay.
Let me just find it. Sorry, I did come prepared. Oh, here.
You know, the part about your heart beating fast, you know, that is how you feel sometimes.
That's what Pam said in the first show. I appreciated her honesty.
Better heart beating fast, yeah, it does.
I said that?
Yes, Pam, you were very frank, I guess, at the first. You were innocent before. Now you guys can tell your experience are going to cover up. Okay, here comes number two.
Okay.
She came in through the bathroom window.
Oh, yeah. I love that.
Okay.
I like it, too.
Head.
But it's kind of tinny, don't you think, Pam?
It's the Beatles, you know, and, yeah. You know, when we're doing sourcing, we are coming in through, you know, the bathroom window.
Okay.
Sometimes.
Okay. I'll play one that I wasn't going to play. You might like it because you like the Beatles, okay? But
okay.
No, I don't think Maureen will like this one.
Okay.
She's got the devil in her heart. For her eyes, they tantalize.
Nope.
Couldn't understand it, Michael.
Devil in her heart. Pam heard
devil
it.
In her heart. You know that, Pam?
Yeah, but it's a little bit, believe it or not, a little too dated.
Okay. I got.
Where's that come from, Pam?
Oh, Lord, the devil and I can't remember.
I think it must be a Motown song.
I think it is, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Maybe, who knows?
Yeah.
Anyway, so let me see. Mind you, I'll tell you just something. There's no callers yet, just so you
know.
Well,
let's give them the number real quick. It's 646-652-2754 if you'd like to talk to all of us.
That's right.
Say it again, Pam, and say it slowly.
646-652-2754. It's real simple.
I don't think it's a simple number, but you got it right, 646-652-2754. Now, people got short notice. I think that might be a problem.
Yeah, very, very short notice.
Right, so at least we'll have a little session here deciding on your music, if not.
Okay, do we have any more songs?
I got two more.
Okay.
Two more. One's, you know, just for fun, I think, a little too long. But the other one, I think, is the winner. Hold on. This is a runner-up. That one?
Yeah, it's kind of funny.
Okay, here's the winner.
It's funny, but it's real tinny. It's hard to understand. But
you know, I inflated the sound. Maybe I should just make it lower.
Okay.
Better. But that's Searching. That's also the Beatles. I'm on a bit of a Beatles kick.
Yeah, I like it.
Okay.
First one was Michael Bublé. He's a Canadian.
Oh, was it Michael Bublé?
Yeah, Michael Bublé. Sure. Okay. Here's the winner from my point of view.
All right.
Just from my point of view.
Go, 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 little queenie. Go, 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 little queenie. Go, 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 little queenie.
That has to do with being the queen bee of telephone sourcing.
Absolutely.
Well, do we have to decide right now?
No, just think it over.
Okay.
But it looks like you got the rest of the show to think about it.
Yeah, no kidding. No kidding.
Should I go to the control room?
I think you should. Are you going to do your little show open or no? Or do you just want to...
No, it's all yours now.
Okay. All right, everybody. You are now listening officially to Radio Free Sourcing with Maureen Cherub, Pam Simon, on the Recruiting Animal Show.
Very good. Very good, Pam.
Okay.
Did it just like he does it.
I know. Seriously, though, if you would like to, we'll take any question, and it's real simple. All you have to do is call.
Make the question simple, though.
Right, because we're very simple people. The phone is 646-652-2754. And it's that simple. You just dial in, you go up on a screen, and at some point, Michael...
You've got a caller here, Pam.
Oh, really? Please, caller, hello. Who are we speaking with? Hello?
Hello.
Hi. Who's joining us today?
I'm sorry, it's Shannon Myers. I thought I had you on mute.
Oh, Shannon. So you just want to listen. You don't want to participate.
I'll be very active for you. How's that?
Okay. Do you have a question that you'd like to ask us, Shannon?
Not at this time.
Okay.
Are you a telephone sourcer, Shannon?
I'm a recruiter. I do both. Both sides, yes.
Do you do telephone sourcing?
Yes, I do. Cold
call. How long have you been doing that?
About 6 years.
Wow.
Good. Good for you. Who do you work for?
Right now I work for Discover Personnel.
Oh, okay. Okay. What are your most challenging searches?
I would say right now a plastic surgeon.
Plastic surgeon?
Upstate New York, yeah.
I mean, is it like hard in the sense of finding them or getting them to talk to you?
Just to find one. I mean, the amount of calls I've put in is endless, but it's a great employer, and it's in a region I grew up in. I love the employer, but just making the calls and trying to get the people on the phone, and then once I get them on the phone, trying to kind of cut through and see if they're interested a little bit.
Will they be working for a hospital or?
For a private practice.
Okay. I saw a show last night. They say there are more plastic surgeons per capita in Beverly Hills than anywhere in the nation.
There is. Want to go to New York or L.A.
They do?
Mm-hmm.
New York City? Mm-hmm. But this is in upstate New York.
Yeah, it's up by Albany.
Yeah, there's a lot of snow up there, isn't there?
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
That's where you grew up?
Yeah, my husband won't visit there in the winter with me.
He won't? Where
I
do
don't
live?
But he refuses to. He's like, there's no way. We went up once and opened the door to the hotel, and it froze open in less than a minute. So.
Oh, my
really?
Gosh.
He doesn't want to go back.
Where do you live now?
Just outside of Philadelphia.
Oh, well, it gets cold there.
Yeah, definitely different. You don't get
not
snowed
so.
In.
Yeah, what are their reactions when they learn that it's in upstate New York, the plastic surgeons that you have spoken with?
Just not an area they're interested in. Snow, They don't think it's, you know, not close enough, don't think that they're going to have enough work.
Right.
Unfortunately, it's a great position, so. I apologize, that's my dog in the background.
Okay.
I was going to have you on mute. I usually listen in.
That's okay. That's okay.
Well, what would make it more attractive? Would you, from a recruiting standpoint, could you offer them an opportunity to travel back and forth, or?
No, there really isn't. I mean, financially, it's amazing. The cost of living is amazing. The practice is great. It's just a matter of that. But usually, I have pretty good luck. This one, I've just I've been.
Well, where would they pull from? Where would their?
They'll even take a new fellow. So they'll even take somebody with barely any experience. So.
What about Canada? Are you pulling from people in Canada?
You know, I haven't considered that. I mean, they'd have to be board certified eventually in the U.S. So. I guess I'd have to look at what that would be.
We need our plastic surgeons here. Hands off.
Michael, when was the last time you were at a plastic surgeon's?
I need one soon. I haven't been yet.
If you were going to have some work done, what would you have done?
You know what? I would have hair. But I have a friend who had a hair transplant. You know,
yeah.
It doesn't look like real hair to me.
Does it look like doll plugs?
No, it's not awful, but, you know, he has to comb it over the edges or it doesn't, the hairline doesn't look real.
Wow.
Hmm. Pam, what would you have done?
You know what I would say. Definitely my nose.
I disagree with that. You know what? I disagree with that. I saw you in the video. You got a nice nose.
It's an Arabic nose.
Okay.
It's definitely one of those. You know, I'm afraid, well, golly. By the way, just in case people are confused, this is Radio Free Sourcing. It's a special edition filling in for Michael Kellerman, kinda, who is the recruiting animal, and you're listening to the recruiting animal.
I'm
going
to have to edit that out now.
He's going to have to edit that out. He doesn't want anybody to know.
Oh, sorry.
I have a question for you guys.
Okay, we're ready.
Limited callers. Now, I was listening to Amy Beth Hale's show. She calls herself the Research Goddess. She's a friend of this show.
Yeah.
She's got a radio show as well, and she was interviewing a couple, a married couple, who live in a trailer and do all their sourcing and recruiting from there.
From a trailer?
Yes. Maureen and Pam, do you think you could, you know, couple up together and handle your business from a trailer driving around the country?
No.
You don't think so, Pam?
I don't know.
Oh, because we couldn't get along together.
No, it's not that. I think, you know, because, maybe if we kept moving, maybe that would help.
I think we could source from anywhere as long as they have satellite,
right?
You know, connection, as long as we can plug into a good phone.
Right.
So you could buy an RV, recruiting vehicle. And,
you know my feelings about voice over IP.
Yeah.
You know what? I talked to Harry Joyner. He's got it. I talked to him today. He's got it. It didn't sound bad at all.
Really?
Yeah. It does warble sometimes. It's true.
Well, you just can't afford it when you're phone sourcing.
You can't afford
to have it.
Yeah. The thing I find that sometimes when we're doing sourcing, sometimes if when you're really doing an intense search or really although you are for the most part you're sedentary at the computer and the phone. At the same time, there are parts of it where, you need to get up and walk around or, lay on the floor or hang upside down from your chair.
Pam does that, Michael. You would be interested in that. Sometimes she lays on the floor with her legs up on the wall.
Yeah.
Her butt's pressed into the – when she just
– Well, that'll be good when your show goes video.
Yeah. I mean, sometimes, sometimes, if you're working a really intense phone bank or you just have your list and you know how to, and you're calling in, sometimes you just got to lay on the floor or hang upside down with the phone and get it done that way. So if I have the ability to move like that, maybe a trailer wouldn't be so bad.
Okay, I got another question for you.
I want to know if Shannon's still with us or have we bored her to death?
Nope, I'm
still
there.
Oh, she's still there. I have a question for Pam, Michael, when you're finished. Or Animal, I'm sorry. You're
you
have to
can go
that,
ahead. You know. Can call me Michael. Go ahead.
Okay. Pam?
Yes.
You know what I want to talk about, don't you?
I'm not sure.
I want to talk about all the stars you've met. Pam
is a big-time
radio show host. Yes.
Long time.
And Pam has met some amazing stars.
Wait a second.
Yes.
Don't you want to do that when you've got real people listening?
Oh, no. Do we have another person on the line?
What?
Do we have other people listening?
No, there's only me and Shannon right now.
You two count. I know,
yeah, but
Shannon
not for
counts.
The big
I don't
stories.
Know about you, Michael. What?
Not for the big stories.
Oh, they'll be listening. We can repeat it.
Well, it'll be up
Pam,
there.
Pam has some great stories to tell.
Let me ask my question first.
Okay, go ahead.
All right.
Now, these two people who live in this trailer.
Yes.
Okay. Now, they're newlyweds. Maybe that makes it easier.
Maybe it does.
Okay, so, and it sounds like, the husband is a little older, and he's probably the boss. Anyway, but I'm not sure. Anyway, but he specializes in the data storage sector, he said. Now, I've heard of recruiters specializing in a sector, but it might be interesting. Are there any sourcers who specialize in just a few sectors, and they absolutely spend their time knowing every last person there?
Right. Yeah, that would be interesting to know that, too. Although I think that would kind of limit you. Wouldn't it limit you? I don't know, Maureen. I mean, can you make a living by, you know, knowing one vertical so well?
You know, we don't. We source across just about, you'd be hard-pressed to find a vertical we haven't sourced in.
Right.
I don't know any telephone sourcers that are specific to one industry. I know recruiters who do sourcing,
right,
who do their own sourcing that are specific, for instance, to the pharma industry. I saw a post today about from someone in the defense industry, but I don't think we could go there. You know, one thing people miss, Michael, about sourcing is 80% of it is all the same. It doesn't matter what industry you're sourcing in.
Right.
80% of the technique is the same. It's about 20% that makes that particular job unique that you need to learn, you know, enough to be dangerous.
Right.
You know, enough to, at the beginning of the job, you need to learn so you can talk the talk, you know, when to get in and once you're in, to move around.
Right.
But 80% of the same technique is pretty much the same. You agree, Pam?
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, what's helpful to us is that when we're contacted and they're looking, you know, and someone, you know, whether it's a recruiter or, you know, a staffing manager or whatever, if they know specifically what they're looking for, very often they're providing, like, a job description to us and very often explaining to us, you know, who these, you know, where these people are, who they're reporting to. And once we have that knowledge, then we know where to aim, no matter what the industry is. Sometimes, though, we have people who don't know what they're looking for. And that's very fascinating. You know, sometimes we want to hire a person, and that may have, like, five titles combined into one. And that's funny. You know, it's like, well, we found a person who does this piece and a person who does this piece, but, you know, and this piece and this piece and this piece, but we don't have one person in these other companies are doing all five pieces. That gets interesting. So,
mm-hmm.
You know.
I saw a post today in one of the groups, one of the sourcers is looking for something that's really a needle in a haystack, and it's a set of experiences that just doesn't really exist, but these the hiring managers, they get it in their heads that, you know, they're going to find these perfect people, and there are not perfect people out there.
No. And especially when you're dealing with other companies, their structures might be slightly different from your own or the company that you're representing.
Yeah, like that job you just did, Pam.
Oh, yeah.
What was that? What were we
well,
looking for?
Well, they were looking for combustion
engineers. Yeah.
Or with the second subsidiary title of mechanical engineers.
I don't think we found any of those, did we?
No, there was no, and the target companies that, you know, we were asked to go into, none of them had the title of combustion engineer. Now, you had engineers working on different pieces of a combustion engine, but none
right.
of them had the overall title of combustion engineer. So what did we do in that case? We provided the entire engineering division.
Yeah.
You know, some did electrical. Some did process, some did systems, some did applications.
And he's happy with that, Pam. The only thing he thinks he might not be able to use are the technicians, but he's still going to talk to them to see if they have
right.
have the experience.
Right, and then some had, you know, staff engineer titles. So, you know, in that case, what you do is you do a Hail Mary. You get them all and say, it's your call, you know, the client's call.
Michael, are you still with us, or do we put you to sleep?
No, I'm listening.
Okay.
Although...
Yes.
Although a long
You've
description like that, I think
say.
You should break up for people like me.
You think what?
Don't worry about it. I'll talk
you should
about
break
it.
Up
we'll talk about it after. I mean, there might be millions listening who aren't calling in, so, you know, maybe I'm discounting.
Oh, I didn't
I'm just
think
assuming
that.
They're not there.
Okay.
Okay. Well, we can do this again. What you are listening to is the Recruiting Animal Show on recruitinganimalshow.com. And today we're doing a special edition with Maureen Cherub and me, Pam Simon. And today, technically, we're calling Animal Show Radio Free Sourcing. And we are sourcers. We help other people find specific people who need jobs. If you have a sourcing question, a recruiting question, we have recruiters on the phone with us. Shannon's with us. You can call us at 646-652-2754. And that's about all I know at this point. How's that?
Great.
Okay. So, Maureen, as the queen of sourcing, you have many posts on sourcing.
I'm not the queen of sourcing. Michael says I'm the queen of telephone sourcing.
Telephone sourcing.
And
that's right.
What Pam and I do best. We do telephone sourcing. We're not so great at the internet stuff. I mean, we go there, you know, to begin our searches, but we're not the ones really to ask internet searching questions of. But we can direct you to people that can help you in that, if that's what you require.
That's true. What is the biggest challenge lately that you have found in the last couple of weeks, Maureen, with sourcing for you?
What's my biggest sourcing challenge?
Yeah.
Well, as you know, I have a granddaughter.
Yes.
Who was born last Wednesday.
Congratulations.
Who's staying with me. And that's a challenge.
Yeah.
Her name is Brianna Marguerite, and she is adorable.
Oh,
it's hard to pull myself away.
That's
but she sleeps most of the time, so when she's sleeping, I'm on the phone.
Right.
And what are my sourcing challenges? What have I been working on?
What do you tell the gatekeeper when she hears the baby crying in the background?
Oh, the baby does. She doesn't hear it. I'm very careful to keep my background noise down.
Right.
You know, I have a dog. And Bob lets the dog in sometimes, and it's really disconcerting when you're on the phone and she's spitting out names and the dog starts barking.
Mm-hmm.
That puts a kibosh on everything immediately. But the baby, what the baby does is takes up a lot of time away from sourcing. Pam, I haven't had any real challenges other than that in the last couple of weeks.
That's pretty good.
In the last week or so.
But I think overall, though, our biggest, you know, we get this a lot, and it's about how to get past the gatekeeper.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think the biggest advice we can give is, like we said the last time, is, you know, first ask directly. If you can't get moved on from there, then, you start looking for names. You start searching that out, and then you call somebody direct. That's the only way I get around it.
And there was a remark posted last night on ERE about an experience one of the members had. He was, I think it was semiconductors. He was sourcing semiconductor people, and he had the names. He had some names, and he called in, and he asked directly. He used call block, and he asked for the person by name, and the woman, the receptionist said, well, he's not in, and this gentleman said, well, can you put me in his voicemail? And she said, he doesn't have voicemail. Well, he didn't believe that he didn't have voicemail. And he later found out that the company does have voicemail, but he felt that the gatekeeper was lying to him. And we get asked this question sometimes, Pam, how often do gatekeepers lie?
How often?
Yeah, do you think gatekeepers lie?
I think some do, yeah.
Yeah, I do too.
I think they're charged with this mission: protect the company. You're the front line. I think they do get that speech.
Yeah.
And
well, he thought that he was getting brushed off because he had call block up. I think he was getting brushed off because he didn't identify himself. Even though you use call block, you use it, Pam, I use it.
Right.
We always identify ourselves when we call.
Right.
Hi, this is Maureen Cherub. Can you please direct me to? I think if he had said his name, that would have trumped the call block and would have reduced any suspicion she may have had in her mind about him.
Right, and the other thing is that, and this is also the second thing to consider, if this is a name he has, how many others have this particular individual's name? And it could be something as simple as, because I do consider that sometimes, maybe this is a person who put their name out there or posted a resume or something happened or, you know, a paper got published, something, And sometimes that person might be getting deluged with phone calls. That's something else to consider.
Well, yeah, if they're listed online and they can be found easily or sometimes not so easily, they might, you know, they may have their welcome worn out, so to speak.
Right, right. And then sometimes, I just recently did this, is that we found a particular, I think it was a scientist, yeah, we were looking for a statistician.
Oh, yeah.
And he was not in the home office that we were asked to, you know, in a particular state in which the client wanted us to look at. But he reported to the same state, but he lived out of state. He was on the West Coast. We were on the East Coast. And there was a phone number given for him, but basically it rang back into the corporate office. So in that case, what I did, and I realized just quickly, right off the cuff, well, maybe it might be easier if I were to send him an email, and I was actually given his email address, which we provided to the client. So it might, you know, there, we tried to figure out an alternative way to contact that person.
If there's no telephone.
Right, if there's no phone, direct phone.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes if you can just, you know, get an email address for them, or because every company, for the most part, has a standard email address. It's, you know, usually a first name or a first initial, and a last name, dot, you know, whatever name of company, .com. So sometimes that can also help, you know, help provide some point of contact between you and your target.
Michael?
Mm-hmm.
Are you finished with your questions?
Yes, yeah.
Okay, do we have anybody else on the couch?
I would tell you.
Okay. Do we still have Shannon on the couch?
Shannon's there. Shannon calls in regularly.
Can I ask my question?
Oh, yeah, I don't know. I'm not in charge. You're in charge.
Oh, okay, Pam?
Yes?
What was the best story you have about a star? What is the best story you have about
okay,
a star?
Okay, one of the, I think you would like me to tell my Mick Jagger story.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. So, I mean, you know, sourcing, you know, like, you know, stalking stars very much like, you know, sourcing, you know, potential job candidates. And
stalk sourcing. Hey, there's a name. Michael, you like that? Stalk sourcing?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
So, and like sourcing, you got to know where your target is. And, you know.
Pam, you don't have to tie this into sourcing.
Sure?
Just tell the story about.
Okay. So here I am. It's Grammy Week in New York. And it's at the Mayflower Hotel. And the Mayflower Hotel is where a lot of, you know, radio folks who came in to cover Grammy Week, because we used to call it, like, you know, Grammy Week in the round.
Pam, I don't think the listeners are going to realize that you are a former radio host.
A former radio host, yes.
You've got a new
former big-time radio host.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Can I have one second? Does this new person who's just called in have a question?
Hello, new person.
Yes, my name is David.
Hi, David.
And someone just told me about this radio show.
Yes.
Cool. We're glad you joined us. We've been waiting for you.
And what I do is I've been doing this for 9 years.
You've been what?
My background is public accounting.
Okay.
For 12 years. Headhunter for 9.
Okay.
And I do nothing but tax.
Oh, we had this question on the first show.
But go ahead.
Well, you probably did. But you know what? I heard the show last time, and here goes.
Okay,
go. Let's do it.
We'll help you, David.
I don't understand why people feel like they have to be totally Snow White about telling people who they are, telling the gatekeeper who they are.
Oh, we haven't had this question.
No, you don't have to be Snow White.
Of course not. No, that's right. It's silly to. So, but people talk about, you know, like it's wrong to ruse, and that's silly. But anyway, so you tell some, you make up a name, and you indicate that you need to talk to so-and-so, such-and-such person, senior manager, et cetera, et cetera. The biggest thing I think blocks people from getting through sometimes with CPA firms is when they ask for you to state your business. Like, why are you calling?
Right.
You think they do that a lot, David?
Yeah.
I'm sorry?
Well, they've done it to me.
Okay, but
right,
David,
so.
Pam, you've been so burned by Accenture that you've got a bad taste in your mouth.
And Deloitte.
I don't find that so much, but do you find that, David?
Find what? That's an obstacle?
Or
that it's a real
obstacle?
You
ask that question a lot. What is your business, right?
Eventually. You know, what happens is if you're asking, let's say, if you need to find someone in state and local tax, let's say.
Okay.
Or whatever specialty there is. What happens is you're right. You call up the receptionist, and you when you talk on the phone, you have to make it sound like you know that you belong there and you know what you're doing, and you announce your name. You announce a company, not necessarily yours, but, you know, the Ajax Incorporated.
Right.
And you need to speak with, and you sound dumb, and you ask for their help, and you say, gosh, I forgot the name. It's Bob so-and-so in state and local tax. And they'll say, oh, you mean Jim. Yeah, that's right.
Right.
But anyway, so then you get to the admin, and you really want to find out who's there.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's the admin for that area. They'll ask you, state your name, state your purpose. And it's always the purpose
that makes people nervous.
Like, right. So how do you overcome when you ask those folks, when they ask you, what's the nature of your call? You don't want to say, well...
Can I back up here, David?
Go ahead.
I have a suspicion that you're saying too much. You're saying your name. You're saying the company you're with. You're sounding dumb. You're bumbling around a little bit, and you may not have to do that. Are you trying to find a name? You don't have any name. Is that what you're telling us?
Actually, what I do is I actually call up telling them I'm with one of their clients.
Okay.
I'll call saying, hi, my name is Jack Smith. Please help me out. I'm new here. I'm working with Bill Moran, the CFO at the ABC company.
Right.
Of course, it's a client of theirs. And I need to interface with one of the state and local tax managers, and I forgot who that is. Can you please help me?
Right, and that usually will provide you a name.
Actually, but it's 50-50.
Okay, right.
It's 50. What happens is then they half the time they want to bring you over to a partner. Now, what you're going to tell me is, great, listen to the partner's voicemail, greeting, and then go back and forth. But is there another methodology of answering, of getting someone... when I ask you to state your business?
Well, before you came on, we were running past some songs, and one of the first songs was the Beatles coming in through the bathroom window. Right, Pam?
Yeah.
And Pam and I use a technique, and Pam, break in, you know, if you...
Yeah.
Pam and I use a technique where if we're sourcing, let's say we're sourcing out, let's just pick one, Accenture.
Right.
We will go to a business... information system like Hoover's, and we will look to see if we'll have a target list of companies, and we'll look to see who is using Accenture as their accounting firm. Many times, if you call that company and you just simply, hi, this is David calling. I don't know your last name, David. I know you told me. I apologize.
All right. Actually, that's okay.
This is David calling. Can you please put me to the Accenture office? Many times, that call will get whisked to the Accenture office. And that Accenture office might be set up in the coffee room. It might be set up in an absent employee's desk. It could be in the conference room.
Right.
And many times people from that consulting firm will answer that phone.
Super. And by the way, why do you think people feel like it's incumbent upon them never to make up a story, but actually to mention the name, their real name, and their real company?
Well, it's a couple of things, I think. First and foremost, and this is something that Maureen and I have discussed many times about sourcing, is that I think that, first of all, it depends on the firm. You know, like if you're a sourcer, you know, you're already comfortable with whatever it takes to find the right people. If you're a recruiter, I think it puts you in a different kind of light.
No, you're right. You're right. That's right.
Right, because if you're a recruiter saying, hi, I'm Mary, Shannon, for instance, if you're going to be the first point of contact that's going to make a legitimate offer, you know what I mean?
No, right. If you're going to recruit, then you come in straight.
You have to come in straight.
Sourcing wall's fair.
Right, and the other thing is that, you know, when it comes to major companies or corporations who have their own hiring, what they call recruiting divisions inside their own buildings, they love the idea of sourcing. They want their people to source. But because they're calling, you know, say, I don't know, IBM, so to speak, hi, this is so-and-so from IBM. The last thing I think IBM or any of those folks can afford to do is to even have the hint of impropriety. Does that make sense?
Yep, sure does.
Because, you know, the last thing they need on their hands is some other company getting mad saying, well, you know, you lied to our employee. No.
It's a valid, well, yeah.
Maureen, do you have a user group? Someone told me you may have some kind of user group online.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have a couple. Sorcerers Unleashed is a Yahoo group. It's about 2,000 members. There are a lot of sorcerers in it, as well as a lot of recruiters that are there to learn about sourcing. And we have a new group called the Sorcerers Guild. It's also a Yahoo group, but hopefully it will become a turn into a professional sorcerers guild, an organization.
Interesting.
So, yeah, by all means, join both of them. Are you? Do you have a Yahoo account?
Do I have a do I have a Yahoo account? No, I don't.
Just go sign up at Yahoo. It's all free, and then do a search in the groups for Sorcerers Unleashed, as well as Sorcerers Guild.
Interesting.
I also have groups on ERE, on the Electronic Recruiting Exchange. Are you a member of ERE?
No, I looked at. I was like many years ago when I first got involved. Nothing personal, but a lot of dumb questions over and over, over again. And my thoughts are, what's the point?
Well, it's
in the winter.
Give it a look again, because I mean there are a lot of really interesting discussions that go on the boards. The boards have really developed over the last few years.
Well, you know, what I mean, like even you know, in the news, every winter there's always in the news 10 things to avoid the cold, and in the summertime 10 things to avoid the heat, and it gets repetitive.
Mm-hmm.
Is there repetitiveness in that ERE stuff?
No. Take a look at ERE again if you haven't been there for a while. It's www.ere.net.
.net.
And they have really viable discussion groups on all different subjects.
Okay.
I'm sure you'll find some that are of interest to you. I have one called Ask Maureen. It's about sourcing.
Interesting.
Ask Maureen.
Interesting. Sounds good.
Maureen,
you're working in a really difficult space, David, the accounting firms. And when I said we had this question last week, did you listen to last week? Or was it the week before, Michael?
About a month ago?
Yeah, somebody asked a question about this. But you are working in a very challenging space.
Yeah, indeed.
If not one of the most challenging.
Because these gatekeepers are probably the best at keeping it down to name, rank, or serial number. Not even.
Well, I said before, Accenture makes Pam crazy for that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, she doesn't like to do Accenture.
When it comes to the big four firms, when it comes to like large CPA firms, the only way really get in is through referrals. Otherwise, doing this cold, if you don't know anyone in a particular office, let's say Ernst & Young in Pittsburgh,
right,
and you don't know a living soul there, that could be a challenging. That's where you have to kind of do some rope-a-dopes. And
right.
I call it
well, you know, LA. You can always resort to the phone banks. You know, spend a couple hours at night, you know, doing a couple hundred names off the phone banks.
Yeah, and that's the last resort. Sometimes you have to do that.
Sometimes you have to do that in challenging spaces like yours, yes.
Especially
if the offices aren't that large, because some of their offices aren't that big. But, you know, if you're in middle America somewhere,
right,
it's not like their New York office that has thousands of people.
Very good.
I got a question for Dave. Maureen, can I ask?
Okay. Sure.
Dave, are you working out of a trailer?
He missed that, Michael.
Working out of a trailer.
You're not in an RV or anything like that, eh? Driving around?
No, I do not.
Okay.
Why do you ask that?
It's a trend. It's a trend now.
Apparently, it's a recruiting and sourcing trend. People working at a little trailers.
All you need is a laptop and a
moving
like,
from
you know.
City to city.
David, listen to the show
benefit,
earlier. We talked about this. It. Michael, you hit people broadside.
Sorry.
You know, I was also thinking about the question that David had posed originally, which is, you know, why do we think people have trouble with it? Well, again, I think it goes to both sides of the fence, you know, recruiting versus sourcing. And I don't know, Maureen, but in my limited time with you, it seems that sourcers come from other industries. Am I right? Not necessarily from a recruiting, but a corporate, you know, setting of some sort. And I think the other thing is that I think, first of all, we're bigger risk takers. The second thing is that we've worked it for other corporate settings where we know that, you know, listen, people are going to be changing jobs. I just saw a statistic, 14 times during the course of their lifetime now.
I'm surprised it's that low. I thought it was a little bit higher, but
I just heard it.
14 times,
And you know, so I have no problem finding people, whatever it takes to find someone. I don't care if I have to be Bubbles the Clown. Because having been in a corporate setting where I wasn't the CEO or the owner, you know, I take it as a supreme compliment. I don't care how somebody found me. The fact is, if somebody found me and called me and wants to know who I am, for a potential opportunity, maybe not at this time, but maybe somewhere down the road as an employee.
There's great benefit to employees that we
exist. I have a good show. I gotta go. I gotta roll.
Bye, David. Thanks for calling.
Bye, Dave.
In.
Thanks for calling in. Again, our number is 646-652-2754. This is the RecruitingAnimalShow.com. It's a different version because Mr. Animal himself has lost his voice because he lives in Canada.
He hasn't lost his voice that much. Did you hear how he blindsided poor David?
I know.
Michael.
But today
you're ashamed of
Green Cherub, Pam Simon. This is Radio Free Sourcing. Any questions regarding sourcing or recruiting? Well, Shannon's on the phone with us. She can help us, too. And our number is 646.
We don't know. Is Shannon still here?
I'm still here.
She wants to hear the Jagger story. We're going to go back to that.
I was going to say, I was waiting for you to go back.
Eventually. It's called.
What's the number, Pam?
646-652-2754. You can just pop in with your question, pop out if you'd like, or just listen, or whatever you want to do here. It's Radio
Call Free Sourcing. Call us. We'll talk to you.
That's right. On the Recruiting Animal Show.
Michael, is there any last gasp you want to get in before we go to Jagger? Maybe he has lost his voice, Pam.
I did meet Paul McCartney.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Let's hear that. But let's hear Jagger first, and then we'll go to Paul McCartney.
Okay, so it's Grammy week in New York, and a lot of stations are in doing Grammy in the round, and most of us are being housed at an old hotel around San Francisco.
That's a famous hotel, the Mayflower. I'm looking at it right now.
The Mayflower.
Mm-hmm.
That's right, and it kind of leans a little bit. It's so old.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of those old, great New York, you know, hotels where
institution.
Yeah, where you can either like rent it by the day, rent it by the week, or you can live there.
Well, the artsy fartsy hang out there, right?
I'm assuming so.
They used to, anyway. Okay.
So it was, I think it was right after the Grammys. The Grammy show actually showed in New York. And we're all getting back to the hotel late, and we're coming in through the lobby, and there's a little restaurant slash bar in the lobby of this hotel, and I'm there with my radio team, and it's very late at night, and all of a sudden, this big entourage enters, you know, the bar lounge, the Mayflower, and it's a big entourage, and we see this entourage coming, but we're not sure what's going on. And we're just kind of walking through, and this entourage is walking the other way toward us. We're walking toward that entourage. And then all of a sudden, and because I was the official female part of my morning team, a six-person team, I was in the front walking. And all of a sudden I stopped, and everybody kind of like, it was like a cartoon. Everybody just kind of like bumped in behind me. And I just stopped, and our producer looked at me and said, "Why did you stop?" And I couldn't speak. And he hits me, and he goes, "Pam, why are you not, what's wrong?" And he sees where I'm staring. I mean, I just stopped dead in my tracks, and my mouth literally was hanging open. And here comes Mick Jagger. And he's heading toward me, and I'm dumbstruck. I can't move.
You're like a deer in the headlight.
Yes. And I talk all the time. And I
boy,
just point.
Does she.
Huh?
I said, boy, does she.
And I just point. And then Rich starts laughing, who was our producer, and he pushes me right in front of Jagger. And I just stand there. And then Jagger looks at me, and he's got a baseball cap on. And the word dirt is on the cap. I don't know why. But it's on there. And he looks at me, and he goes, "Hello, love." And I went, "Hi." And he shook my hand. And that big toothy grin, it's all real. It does not change in person. It doesn't look any different than it does on stage. And I kind of shook his hand, and he moved on, and I still stayed frozen in my shoes. Inside.
Did you wash your hand? That's what I want to know. Have you washed your hand?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Since then?
Yeah, I had to, but talk
what's
about
what's
dumbstruck.
What's he like in real life?
What's
how
he
tall
like in
is
life? He's taller than you think. He
really?
He is very fit. This man does work out.
He runs 6 miles a day backwards.
Yes. But he was very polite. But that was like one of the few times in my entire lifetime I could not speak.
Shannon, are you impressed?
I'm extremely impressed.
I know, I am too.
And I will tell you, Robert De Niro is short.
A lot of them are short, aren't they?
Very short.
Funny.
How short? They
say
they fit into the screen better that way.
I got to tell you, honestly, I didn't think he was beyond 5'6".
De Niro?
Mm-hmm.
No kidding.
And he has bad eyesight because the night we met him, again, Grammy week, he was wearing glasses, size top bottles.
Coke bottles?
Coke bottle bottoms.
Really?
Yep.
That's interesting.
Yep.
And Paul McCartney, you've met Paul McCartney?
I met Paul McCartney in Cincinnati.
I think Shanna wants to say something. Shanna, you want to say something?
And now I'm just listening away.
I do.
Sorry.
Okay, go ahead.
What's that?
I met the Rolling Stones.
I thought you lost your voice,
well.
Michael.
I met the Rolling Stones, kind of, just like that. I mean, I thought she slept with them, right?
No!
I didn't say anything, right? But
did you sleep with them, Michael?
No, I was a very ambitious person when I was in university, so when
and
I
you
got,
didn't sleep with them?
When I got out, I became a taxi driver.
He's not answering it.
It's true. It's in my about page. And I was in a line at the Toronto Hilton Hotel.
Yeah.
Let me see. So then the car ahead of me, these people came out. A beautiful woman with blonde hair got in with a couple of guys there. And then four guys got in my cab, and I had to drive them out to the Panasonic studio in the West End. And I'm driving. And it was like nothing, no other drive, nothing. There was singing in the back, though. And so finally when the guy paid me, I saw the guy, it was Charlie Watts. I said to the guy, who are these guys? It's the Rolling Stones. So Billy Preston and Charlie Watts. And they didn't, I don't think I got a really big tip. And you know what? It was just like any other fare.
They didn't give you a big tip?
They didn't give you a big tip?
For what? I just drove them for like 15 minutes.
The bums.
No. It wasn't an exciting
was
story,
Jagger
but I mean
the car?
Like.
Was Jagger in the car?
No, he was up ahead with, what's her name, Van Pallant, the girlfriend. And,
oh, he would have given you a big tip.
Oh, yeah, right. Okay. I'm not complaining, Maureen. I'm telling you, there was.
Car? It sounds like you're complaining, Michael.
No, I was just not. Well, you know what? I was looking for something a little more sensational in Pam's story, so I think mine's like the equivalent. They didn't call me love.
When Charlie was in your car, they say he's a really cool guy.
I'm sure he is, but I didn't have a conversation with him.
No.
But, yeah, they were.
You could have, Michael.
Well,
you could talk to anyone.
I don't know. He seems like a quiet kind of a guy. That was quite a while ago as well. Anyway,
Michael,
go back
do you
to
want to hear about
McCartney.
Paul McCartney?
Yes, let's hear.
Would you like to hear that Mikhail Gorbachev story?
Ooh, maybe we'll save that for the next time.
Yeah, let's hear the rock stars this time.
Okay. All right. Well, I could.
Paul McCartney.
Oh, Paul McCartney. It was very simple. It was in Cincinnati. It was when his wife Linda was still alive. And she had come out, remember when she came out with her frozen food line?
Yeah, I do remember that.
Organic
mm-hmm.
foods.
Mm-hmm.
And he was doing a stadium show in Cincinnati. And she came along
at Riverfront
with him.
Stadium?
Huh?
At Riverfront Stadium?
Yeah, Riverfront Stadium. And so we were one of the few at that time that was allowed to have a an interview with him. But what was so sweet about him is that, yeah, we can talk about the tour, we can talk about the album, whatever. But what he really did is he turned the bulk of the time over to his wife Linda, so she could promote this new food line and organic foods and you know and how healthy it is and how healthy it should be and he kept really he deferred to his wife, and that was one of the nicest moments I'd seen in a long time, that, you know, here he was, and everybody was there basically to meet him, to talk to him, because there aren't going to be too many times where you get to meet any of the remaining Beatles in your lifetime. And he basically, you know, made it all about his wife and let Linda take the spotlight to talk about her food line. And I often reflected back on that, wondering if he knew then that she was ill. I don't think the news broke for another, year or two after that she had been battling breast cancer.
Hmm.
So, but he was...
That was a real love story, they say.
Yeah, an extreme love story. And you could see it when you were together with them, but he was so polite, but basically let his wife take the spotlight, which I thought was kind of cool. You don't see
that's
that
the second
often.
Time you said that these stars were polite. You said Jagger was polite.
Jagger was very polite.
And you said
Gloria Stefan and her husband, very polite. A lot of these people... It's funny, you know, you think the bigger they are, the worse they are. They're not. It seems to me that the bigger they are, the kinder they are.
Interesting.
It's the ones coming up the way. It could be a bit of a problem.
Who was bitching, Pam?
Oh, no. I'm not going.
You don't want to say?
No.
No?
That could be very bad.
But there are some that have been bitchy. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. It would be the B, C, and D list type people.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, very not good.
Huh. Interesting.
Yeah. And I
that's
find
interesting that you said that twice about them
people.
Being polite. Yeah, I think that's the number one thing in sourcing. You have to be polite.
Yeah, you do.
You can't demand that that receptionist send you here or tell her that her job's in jeopardy. You don't go there. It's just it's not going to do you any good. You agree, Pam?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, and you have to listen for it in the voice. You have to listen to it very carefully in their voice. You know, you have to learn how to, what I call, reading the room very quickly from an audio standpoint. So you're either matching their timbre, deflecting their timbre, or, you know, knowing you got to move on real quick.
That's interesting. That's interesting.
Because, you know, a couple of times, you know, I've told you over the last several years that sometimes, you know, not often, it doesn't happen often, but maybe, what, a couple of times a year, maybe, you know, three or four times during the course of a year, you get somebody on the phone, you've been with them on the phone for a while, and sometimes, and it's truly a gut reaction to what you've been hearing, sometimes you can get a little tough. And all of a sudden the person caves and gets you to where you need to get to or they give you the information.
You mean you just keep pressing?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to really listen hard and really know when to press.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to know when not to.
Mm-hmm.
And then get out.
Mm-hmm.
That's a hard
thing to convey, isn't it, Pam?
Yeah, but it's all about listening.
Mm-hmm.
It's about hearing what's in that voice.
It's much more. Sourcing is much more about listening than it is about talking.
Yes. Right.
But talking about Paul McCartney, what did he look like? Was he tall?
No, he's not that tall.
Really? No, I would have thought he would be tall.
I'm kind of bad sometimes. I mean, he's not. I would not say he's over 6 foot.
Hmm.
And
Jagger was
another
over 6 foot?
Guy who's taken really good care of himself.
Yeah?
Yeah, in shape. All of them were in pretty good shape.
Jagger was over 6 foot?
I thought so. Maybe Jagger's like 6'1 or something.
Hmm.
I just know he was taller than my morning team. But he's not as skinny as he looks on camera. He's just real fit.
Interesting.
Extremely fit.
God, they have to be. I mean, those kind of schedules, you would think that they would be so grueling.
Right.
But like you say, when they travel, they have all the amenities.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
It's
made as easy as it can be on them.
Yeah.
Hmm. Michael, you have any questions?
No.
No, you're dumbstruck?
No, I'm not.
Or are you just beat into submission?
I have a Beatles story as well, but I'll tell that another time.
You don't want
to hear it now?
No.
Okay.
He's stubborn, Pam. When you get to know him, you'll find he's very, very stubborn.
So
and
Michael,
he'll argue a point to the death. He'll take you right down to the mat with it.
So Michael, what challenges have you found with recruiting in the last 2 weeks?
I've been sick for most of the last 2 weeks.
Besides that,
I haven't done that much. The last challenge I had in recruiting was not really a sourcing problem. It was getting people interested in the position. So it's a different thing.
A different kind of thing.
Yeah.
Well, that's what Shannon's having trouble with, getting people interested in.
Yeah, there's similar things. Geography's a deal breaker. Travel, things like that. People want to be, they have young kids, they don't want to travel.
So in that case, do you go back to your client and say, we've talked to 15 people, and, you know, the feedback is coming in the same. Travel's a problem, money's not enough, kids,
It's very, you know, it's, what can I say? It's troubling. I worry more than they do, it seems to me. I really feel under a lot of pressure. I don't like that situation.
You worry about what, Michael?
Finding the person. Like, when you talk to half a dozen people, and they all, you know, say, I can do the job, but I have no interest in it for this and this reason, and especially something like geography, which really can't be changed, you've got a commitment to help that person already. They're depending on you, and I don't know, how can you meet that? How can you meet your promise or fulfill your promise? Very difficult. I sweat bullets.
So at that point then, when it becomes a geography question, then do you start looking for people only in the area?
In this case, I was recruiting people in Calgary, British Columbia, Edmonton. I don't know if you know where that's, Western Canada. And I was calling people in Central Canada who might want to travel across the country. In the end, I just had to abandon that search. I couldn't find anybody. So it was a really unpleasant situation for me personally. I have to say, I have a huge list of people from the appropriate industries. I did a good job sourcing. But I couldn't sell the job to anybody.
Wow.
What was the position? Maybe somebody's listening or will listen.
No, no one will be listening to him.
You don't want to say?
No.
Okay.
You're giving me bad memories.
You're traumatized by the
yes,
whole thing?
Yes, I hate that situation.
You do? You just want to leave it in the past?
Well, I already told it to you, so.
Yeah, you want to leave it behind.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that's very sad.
Yeah, real sad. Thanks.
Sounds like you need to hire us.
Now, you girls have 4 minutes remaining.
Okay, Pam, next time.
I told you I had the
stars. What stars are we going to talk about?
What are we going to talk about next time?
Yeah, next time, what stars are we going to talk about?
Well, we can talk about Gloria Estefan and her husband.
Okay. You said she's like 3 foot tall?
She's 3 foot tall.
Really? She's real little, huh?
She's a little woman.
She's not really 3 foot, but she's small.
4 foot.
Something?
I don't even think she's 5 foot. If she is, it would be right out.
You know,
is that
why she
wears
stories, you got to make your celebrity stories a little
move
nastier
faster?
Or something. No, these days with all this stuff online, it's got to have
some
edge. These are like innocent stories.
These are fun stories.
Okay.
They're fun stories. They're fun.
See, Michael's got this dark, seedy side. He comes across like, you know, white bread. But he does, Pam. He's got this dark, seedy side.
Yeah.
And how do I know that?
Heroin
Michael, you want to tell them how I know that?
I know how you know.
How?
I'm not saying. You tell me.
Heroin-addicted singers.
Right, yeah. Well, okay.
Poor Michael.
Yeah.
Poor Michael.
Okay, you have to
Wait,
wrap
before
up.
Before you go, Michael, what stars, Pam? Gloria Estefan? Anybody else?
Michael, we'll talk about Mikhail Gorbachev in his first American football game.
Oh, okay. That'll be interesting.
Yes.
I think.
Focus on sourcing girls. That's your forte.
Okay.
I'm going to have some of that.
Oh, you think we should stick to the phone sourcing and give up the star?
Well,
chatter.
Just as a little condiment. Okay.
Okay.
Not a whole string of them, but that's my
opinion. Wait a minute. Shannon's got a voice in this. What do you think, Shannon?
I like the mix of both. And I got to tell you, yeah, I like both.
You like the star-studded stuff, right?
I'm very interested in the star-studded.
See, Michael?
Well, that's if you have the ladies calling in.
I know the audience.
The thing is.
You want the Oprah audience, right?
What's wrong with the Oprah audience?
Okay, well, nothing. She's making a lot of money, and
okay.
Maureen wants that, too. So, you know, maybe I'm wrong, okay?
Just consider it.
Okay. Okay, so are you
okay,
ready?
You want to end the show, Michael?
For your exit music? No, you're ending the show. I'm
well,
just
let me
play
ask
music.
You, Michael, real quick. Who are you going to be interviewing, if God willing, if you're, you know, if you get over your cold? Why?
Next week, I'm not sure. The week after that, Craig Silverman.
That'll be good.
Okay, yes. I hope so.
That'll be good.
He's going to sing.
Really?
Yes,
gonna
he
sing?
Will. Yes, he will.
What kind of song?
Well, you'll see. Listen in 2 weeks.
Okay.
Oh, that's not...
That's not nice, I know. Sorry.
I mean, is it rap? Is it...
No comment.
Oh, Pam, we have to
wait. She's making me angry.
The other thing, Pam, Michael has a very short fuse.
He does?
He does. He wants you to think he has a long fuse, but he'll
I do.
Off quickly.
You got 1 minute left. I'm gonna play your exit music. Thank you very much.
Okay.
For taking over the show, Pam and Maureen.
Well, we tried.
It was our pleasure.
See
Thank you,
next.
Shannon and David for showing up.
Absolutely.
Next time we'll try to give you more heads up.
You give your hand to me.
Oh dear.
I guess that's when he wants Pam.
And I can hardly speak.
As we all drift off to sleep, Blog Talk Radio Land.
Sourcing free radio.
You think
brought to you by the Recruiting Animal.
Well,
that's right.
You know me.
Goodbye, everybody.
Goodbye.
You happy, Michael? Bye, Pam.
Bye, Maureen.
Bye. I'll call you.
Okay.
Okay, bye.
Bye.